Well, I've got something on my heart. Judges chapter 3. Let's go there for just a few moments. And I want to read a few passages to you. And then we're going to magnify the Lord. You know, you are in a war. Did you know that? You are in a war, a spiritual battle. Galatians 5:16. Don't turn there. But it says this. The flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, that you may not do the things that you desire. Do you know what that means? You are in a constant battle. Your flesh is in a constant battle to stop you from living and walking in the spirit. And your spirit is in a constant battle of trying to crucify the flesh, that you may not fulfill the lust thereof. And you will always have that fight and that struggle. But today, I want you to hold up your Bible. Do you have it with you? Now, don't hold that phone up. I want to see the Bibles. That's right. All right. All right. You can put them down. You have in your hand. Go ahead and hold your phones up. I know you're just itching to do it. All right. Yeah, thank you. Praise God. Well, I can't even preach this now. No, teasing. You have a dagger in your hand. Did you know that? You have a spiritual weapon, and it's called the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17 says that we are to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. That's an offensive weapon. That's an aggressive weapon. You have a dagger. Look with me. I read this week. I was reading through the book of Judges, of all books. And I tell you, it's a very interesting book. If you've ever read through the book of Judges, you have in the period of history of Israel, Joshua is on his deathbed. Joshua, of course, was the successor of Moses. And he was the pastor of Israel, and he took the people into the land of Canaan. And we know how God supernaturally squashed the walls of Jericho, did he not? And how that they went into Canaan, and victory after victory, and there was some loss, but there was victory after victory, and God said, take the land. And then Joshua is on his deathbed, and that leaves Israel without a leader. This was before Samuel, who was the last judge of Israel, and before King Saul and King David. So this was a period of time where they had no one leader to look to. So Judges is a period of cycles where Israel is serving God with all their heart. Now tell me if this reminds you of anything. They're serving God with all their heart. They're on fire. They're zealous. They're excited. And then they go into a spiritual decline. And they began to serve idols, and they began to intermarry with nations that God told them to kill. And then they cry out to God. And the Bible says over and over again that the Lord raised up deliverers and judges to bring them out of the mess that they put themselves in. Think about that. Of course, that's a picture pointing to Christ, who is our deliverer, is he not? He's the righteous judge and took the penalty of sin and judged sin at the cross for you and I. So therefore, we can cry out to him at any time and he will hear us. But I want you to see a narrative here that is so powerful that you can relate to your life. And this week, I want you to remember that you have a dagger. Everybody shout dagger. You have the sword of the Spirit. Now, look with me at Judges chapter 3, verse 14. They have been in bondage to the Moabites for some time, the children of Israel. Verse 14 of Judges 3. So the children of Israel served Eglon. Boy, that's a name, isn't it? The king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer. His name was Ehud. Everybody say Ehud. If you're looking for baby names in the future. but they cried unto the Lord. How many know that when you cry unto the Lord, He hears you? This morning, many of you are facing a trial, the trial of your life. Depression, anxiety, all these things are on the rise. But they do not have to be on the rise. In the life of the believer, in the life of the one who is spirit-filled, in the life of the one who carries a dagger called the Word of God. So Ehud was raised up. He was a Benjamite. Everybody shout Benjamite. The name Benjamite actually means son of the right hand. Think about that. Son of the right hand. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let me ask you, where is Christ seated today? At the right hand of the Father. He's physically at the right hand of the Father. And He ever lives to do what? Make intercession for you and I. That's why He lives, you see. Son of the right hand. But Ehud, look with me, was left-handed. Now, the tribe of Benjamin, this is unique because Benjamite means to be the son of the right hand, yet the tribe of Benjamin was known to have an army of hundreds of men who were left-handed, who were skillful in battle, and could not be overcome. Ehud was one of these guys who was part of this army of left-handed people. What does that mean? What kind? Do you think that's just there to be there? Absolutely not. So Benjamite, son of the right hand, Ehud is a left-handed warrior telling us that we are the body of Christ. We are the left hand. We are the hands and the feet and the body of Christ. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. God sits upon His throne. Christ seated at the right hand. We are in Christ. We are the body of Christ. Isn't the Bible wonderful when you decide to read it? Come on, amen. This is better than anything you'll watch on television. This is better than anything you'll hear at the office. Come on, amen. This is the dagger, the Word of God. Now look with me. It gets better. He's left-handed. And by him, the children of Israel sent a present. Everybody shout present. Unto Eglon, the king of Moab. Now, in other words, they were saying, look here, devil, we've got something for you. Now, as the body of Christ, you and I should be very aggressive in attacking principalities and powers. I'm telling you today, we should be on the offensive. Not the armor of God was never meant to cover your back. Did you realize that? It's all covering your front side. Why? Because you are to be aggressive and go after the things of spiritual warfare with the what? The dagger. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You are the body of Christ in Christ, and you're in a fight, aren't you? But here's the issue. If the only time that you read Scripture is when it's on the screen on Sunday morning, you are starving yourself spiritually. And when Eglon and when the principalities and powers come against you, and they will, and it will come out of nowhere. Silas mentioned today, stress, these things affect us in ways we can't even imagine. And oftentimes you don't realize it until it happens to you. Right? And then you wonder, what in the world is going on with my life, my body, and my mind? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. You are in a spiritual battle. And you belong to God. You are property of the Holy Spirit. So naturally, the enemy of your soul is coming after you to pull you away from Almighty God. And you must be prepared with the word, the dagger, to take on principalities and powers. You should wake up every morning, and instead of lying there suffering with the anxieties of life, wake up every morning, let your feet hit the floor, and just tell the devil, I've got something for you today. I've got a present for you. Come on. Now, when a bully used to pick on you, what'd Dad say? He said, square your shoulders, stand up to that guy. Come on, amen. And if you'll be aggressive and stand up and square your shoulders, the same applies in the spirit world. Because I'm telling you, I may not look like much in the flesh, but I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the spirit. So when the devil looks at us, comes against us from hell, We can say, I've got a present for you. That's what Ehud said. Look here. Read with me. But Ehud made him a what? A dagger. Verse 16. Which had two edges. So I can tell you right now. I can't help but think about Hebrews 4 verse 12. That says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And verse 13 says that all things are naked before him. Well, who's him? Him is the word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword, because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was light, and that light was the life of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Do you know what that means? That darkness will never overcome the light of God. Anytime the light of the gospel shines into a dark heart, a dark world, a dark mind, a chaotic situation, it will always overcome the darkness. But I'm telling you, if you do not have the sword of the Spirit, the flashlight's not going to work. Come on, amen. We must stand upon the word of God. So he made a dagger, two edges and a cubit in length. Now you'd read that and just read right over it, wouldn't you? But we're talking about 18 inches. Everybody shout 18. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things. Because in the new covenant, we are empowered as the left hand, the body of Christ, in the right hand of the Father, Christ Jesus. We are empowered by whom? The third person, the Holy Ghost. Come on, amen. The Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Prince of Peace. The Holy Ghost is the one who unveils and reveals the word, the dagger, to you. And I can't help but think about the fruit of the Spirit. You've got love and joy and peace. Who wants it? Shout amen. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Anybody count those? I think that's 9, right? And then I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I read about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And if I recall, there's 9 of them. 9 plus 9 is what? 18. Do you think that's there just to be there? Absolutely not. Ehud was a picture of the body of Christ going into the enemy's camp, saying, look here, devil, I've got something for you, and it is a dagger. It's the word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. And it goes far beyond. I know I pick with you, but it goes far beyond paper and leather and a cell phone screen. It's something that is in your heart. It's something that you stand upon and live by. Because they may take the paper and leather away one day. They may shut the cell phones off and say, well, you can't have a Bible on that thing anymore. And you better have the word of God. You better have a sharp dagger to take toward the enemy. Come on, amen. You are gifted with a dagger, with the gifts of the Spirit, with the fruit of the Spirit, empowered by the Holy Ghost. Come on, amen. And he did, verse 16. Notice what he did with it. He girded it under his raiment. What did he do? He hid it upon his right thigh. Now we can talk about covenant there, right? Abraham and Jacob said, put your hand on my thigh, which was a transfer of the covenant, the promise of God. We have a promise right here that if we believe the book, come on, amen, that the promises of God are yes and amen. But he hid it. Psalm 119 verse 11 says this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When you hide God's word in your heart, it is a dagger at your disposal to take on principalities and powers and all the powers of hell. Come on, amen. So when that spirit of fear comes against you, you can say, I've got a dagger. I've got something for you. My Bible says that I do not have a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. When that anxious spirit begins to overcome you and you feel that panic attack begin to rise up in your heart and in your mind, you can say, I've got something for you, devil. It's called the Word of God. It's a dagger that I'm to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, I make my request known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. When that spirit of infirmity and sickness comes against you, you can say, I've got something for you, devil. When you hear the bad report, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord that says, by his stripes, I am. That. You see, here's the thing. You believe it, Donna, don't you? You've got a dagger. You've got a dagger. It's the Word of God. You've got a dagger, my brother. Now, we can give modern medicine credit all day long, but there would be no modern medicine if it wasn't for the sovereignty and the gift and power of God. My Bible still says there's gifts of healing. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicine. But when it comes right down to it, I give all glory to God, because if it wasn't for the gift of God, the dagger of his word, I stand upon it today. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. But he hid the word in his heart. Look with me, verse 17. And he brought the present, here he goes, unto Eglon, the king of... Here's where we fail most of the time. You hot? I am too. But I can't stand to preach with that air on, so you're going to have to bear with me, all right? Well, don't just look at me. Look at your neighbor and say, he's pitiful. All right. So he brought the present, verse 17, unto Eglon, the king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. Boy, I tell you, this is better than Reader's Digest, General Hospital, is it not? You read the Bible, it gets very interesting quick. Eglon was fat. Now, there's significance in all this, you see. Because Ehud takes his dagger and he goes into the enemy's camp. He goes into the enemy's territory. He doesn't tuck tail and run. He doesn't stop going to church. I could preach an hour right there. Come on, amen. The moment that the powers of hell come against some people, the first thing they want to do is throw the drapes closed and cry and have a pity party. And they want to find somebody to sympathize with them. I'm not going to do that this morning. I won't do it. Because I know that you have a weapon. But you have to make the choice, just like Ehud made the choice, his willingness to go face to face with the enemy. Can I tell you that when you stand against the powers of hell, it's just you and the enemy of your soul? Now, we can intercede for you. We can stand behind you. I can pray for you. But when it comes right down to it, I can assure you, be it unto you according to your faith. God does not respond to who you are, where you work, what you do, the affluence you may have. The only thing that God responds to is your faith. Now, I want to tell you, Christ looked at his people and he said, sometimes you have little faith, you have no faith, you have great faith, and you have much faith. Now, you must be in a place of progression in your faith. But the only way to progress faith is to exhibit faith, to exercise faith, to show faith. So instead of backing down to anxiety, cowering down to sick, Steve told me just a minute ago, he said, Pastor, you know what? My cancer's gone. He said, I couldn't believe I was surprised about it, because that's exactly what I believed God for. And I want to tell you something. When you have the sword of the Spirit, the dagger. Now, hey, can I talk about you? I guess that's a yes. I don't know. I talked to Steve, and in the morning, you know what he was doing? He was reading the word, confessing the word. He was sharpening his dagger. I said, Steve, what are you doing when you go to bed? You're resting. He said, well, I'm just reading the word. He said, that's all I've got. And I said, that's all you need. Oh, hallelujah. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand forever. Medical science only goes so far. You know why? Because there could be another COVID-19. What are they going to do with that one? Huh? There are some things beyond their scope of understanding, believe it or not. But when that does happen, don't fear. Only believe. And they will respond according to your faith. But it takes effort, ladies and gentlemen. It takes a willingness. It takes choosing to say that this day I and my house will serve the Lord. Come on, amen. So he goes into this fat king, verse 18. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. Once again, it's just going to be you and the enemy. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. Now, that's just what the enemy wants. He wants to shut you up, doesn't he? Mm-mm-mm. And all that stood by him went out from him, and Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a... You know, I don't know why I want to hang out on this point. But Ehud, we see something here. Everybody's gone. He's by himself, in theory. Now, he had the power of God and the Spirit of God. But I believe the point is that you have to make up your mind. If your spouse is going to halfway serve God, you've got to make up your mind, I'm going to serve him with my whole heart. Come on, amen. And that I'm going to put God forefront in my life. Come on. Because it's you and the enemy of your soul. When you stand before God, we used to sing a song. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, not my brother, you know, all that. But it's me standing. And when you stand before God, your spouse will not be with you. Your mom and dad will not be with you. Your pastor, I will not be with you. But you will stand before God and give an account to him on your own. And sometimes, being alone is a good thing. Because when you make up your mind that you're going to serve God with all your heart and that you want to be spirit baptized and you want the gifts of the Spirit to operate in your life and you tell somebody you believe in divine healing and they look at you like you're a new cow at a new gate and they'll say that person's elevator doesn't go to the top. That's a temptation with a lot of you. You get around coworkers and family and people in the world and you're a little cautious on how you're going to look if you start talking about the Holy Ghost and you say, well, I go to Willing Vessel. Do you ever tell them it's a Pentecostal church? Because then those looks start coming. You guys speak in tongues. You lay on the ground. Does all that stuff happen there? I want to tell you, you better be willing to stand on your own. Come on, amen. Because people are going to look at you, they're going to neglect you, they're going to abandon you. Jesus said it like this, if you're going to serve me and live for me, be prepared to lose mother, father, brother, sister. Think about that. Everybody in your family may be in a chaotic, hell-spun situation, but you, ladies and gentlemen, can be in covenant with God, and you can square your shoulders against the enemy, and you can stand on the Word of God. You have a dagger. And it's sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Aren't you glad the Word of God? Hold up your Bible again. Just hold it up. Come on. The first tenet of our faith of the Church of God is we believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. Do you believe this Word is inspired by God? Or is it just something that helps you get through the day? It's something that motivates you? No, no, no. This is the eternal Word of God. Established. The Bible. Go ahead and put it down. Unless you want to keep it up, it's all right. Second Peter 1:21 says this. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Come on, amen. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. How about Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6? You know that one? Every word of God is pure. It is a shield to them that trust in it. Do not add to his word, lest he rebuke you, and you be found as a liar. But John 10:35, when Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are life. Come on, amen. This is the word of the living God today. All right, where am I? Verse 20. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor. He was taking it easy. He had for himself alone. Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he rose up out of his seat. Verse 21. Ehud took forth his left hand. There it is. And he took the what? The dagger from his right thigh, from the place of covenant, and he thrust it into his belly. Now, the belly here represents the totality of an individual. Do you realize that you have complete and total authority over the enemy? When you stand and carry the dagger of the Word of God, that you have total authority over sickness, disease, anxieties, depression, you have the authority. Come on, amen. And he thrust it into his belly. Verse 22, and the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Now, Isaiah 14 says something very interesting. That one day, we are going to look upon Diablos, the devil, Lucifer, Son of the morning. And we're going to say these words. Was that the guy that shook the nations? Look at Isaiah 16. That's what it says. Is this the guy that caused all that trouble? Is this piddly little looking devil, this fat out of shape adversary, is he the one that oppressed the people of God? Is he the one that allowed fear to rise up in my heart? Is he the one that caused depression to overcome my mind? Is he the one that brought sickness into my body? And some of you are going to be kicking yourself because you have complete and now I'm not saying he's not powerful. He's the God of this world. But what I am telling you is that with the dagger of the Word of God, you can tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon all the powers of the devil. Ehud said, Eglon, I've got a message for you. And what you need to say is, I've got a message for you, devil. And just put it on the bottom of your foot and say, read that, stupid, because the enemy is under your feet. If I could get you believing this, I'm telling you, we could experience revival like never before. Come on, amen. Praise God. Thrust it into his belly. Look at verse 23. Ehud went forth through the porch, and he shut the doors of the parlor, and he locked them. One of these days, and I believe very soon, Clyde, get me some air. I'm about to die. He said, one of these days, Revelation chapter 20, there's an angel right now that has a key to the bottomless pit. And our Lord is going to shut up the devil, turn the key, and lock him away for 1,000 years. And you want to talk about victory like never before? He's loose right now. There's a devil loose. There's a devil loose in Russia. There's a devil loose in the Middle East. There's a devil loose in America. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? There are devils loose. But I'm declaring today that we've got a dagger. We've got a chain that we can drag behind us. And one of these days, the Lord is going to take us out of here. There's going to be tribulation like never before, and you don't want to be here for it. I'm telling you that now. But at the end of that tribulation period, Revelation 19, I got to read it to you. Stand to your feet. Bring it up for me. Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called, everybody shouted, the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, that's you and I. And out of his mouth, goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Oh, hallelujah. He came the first time lying in a manger. He came on a pallet of straw in a cow trough, but he's coming back the second time in glorious victory upon a white horse. And out of his mouth, the dagger of Ehud, the dagger of the Lord, will smite the nations in the valley of Jezreel, and we will see him victorious as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Come on, let's worship.
That saved a wretch like me.
I see. Come on. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah.